section as a part of a larger bit of instruction that Jesus is giving to his disciples. He starts out by saying to his disciples that he's sending them out with these instructions. He's not to go to Samaritans, he's just to the lost children of Israel. He says, I'm sending you out as sheep from the wolves, to be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. He continues, the disciple is not above the teacher, nor a slave above the master. It is enough for the disciple to be like the teacher, and a slave like the master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those who are of his household? So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered. Nothing is secret that will not become known. What I say to you in the dark, tell in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim to the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear them who can destroy both soul and body in hell. We're not to spare the soul for a penny, yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. And even the hairs of your head are all counted. So do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows. Everyone, therefore, who acknowledges me before others, I will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. And whoever denies me before others, I will deny before my Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and one's foes must be members of one's own household. Whoever loves a father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves a son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Those who find their life will lose it. And those who lose their life for my sake will find it. The gospel of the Lord. We seek your Spirit, Lord, to discern the words spoken and the words heard, that we may live in accordance with your will and in your presence. Amen. I suspect you, like I, have said things that almost immediately as they pass my lips, I wish this is working out. That sounds better, doesn't it? Okay, thank you for being patient with me. I remember a time when we were hiking in the mountains of Colorado, in bed at my feet. I remember this, and it reminds me of generous occasions. We were walking along on the 40 foot of Long's Peak, and out of there, we saw three people coming to us, a man, a woman, and a lad about so high. Today's lesson in the Gospel of Matthew is not unlike some of that. He says some things that, frankly, they're difficult to read. Because they raise issues that we really don't want to deal with. Now, one of the things about being in the Gospel is, and as we read them carefully, we find that there's not total congruity. We find things in one we don't find in the other. We find patterns in one we don't find in the patterns in the other. Particularly the first three, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, call us not that they're very much alike. John is some different, but includes a lot of the same stuff, but not all of it, in a whole different perspective. There are four Gospels that we know of, but scholarship tells us that through the years it's been put together that there are probably more than 20 documents from the first and second century that were called Gospels. And finally, when the Council of Nicaea met in the early 300s, these four were chosen because probably they were the ones that were circulating most within the churches of that time and those with whom they participated. But even these four, and some people find this difficult, it's disconcerting to some folks that that which is one is not the other. The passage we read this morning, Jesus' instruction to the 12 as he sends them out for the first time. And he's reminding them of the community in which he sent them. It's dangerous work, right? That can sum up four or five verses. One of the curiosities of this is, and I noted it beforehand, is that as Jesus is giving this, as Matthew sees it, he says, go only to the lost children of Israel. Do not go to the Samaritans. No, that's not included in the other gospel. It's parallel in there, says go into all the world. Now why would Matthew not remember that? Well, let's parse that out for just a moment, because I think it has to do with the way we approach Scripture, whether we hear it as we do in worship on Sunday morning, or whether we read it along the way devotionally or otherwise along our lives. Matthew was written probably toward the last decade of the first century, 80 to 90 or 90 to 100, sometimes there, very late, as it were. Jesus and the resurrection was in the third decade, somewhere around 30. You really don't know. But that was the area, that was the tradition that was passed along. As Matthew writes. I say, when I look at scripture, I do with the W's. Where, when, why, what? Who wrote it? To whom? On what occasion? This collection of Jesus and the other Gospels, Mark is the earliest, probably 20 years before that, at least 20. And Matthew includes 90% of what's in Mark in his Gospel. But Matthew's is twice as long, or thereabouts, as the Gospel of Mark. So there's more stuff in there. Mark wrote someplace in the Jerusalem area. We don't know exactly where. Scholarship tells us that these Gospels were written at different times and places, and probably the Gospel of Matthew was written along the northeastern coast of the Mediterranean Sea in the neighborhood of Antioch, which is in Syria today. Likely be in your newspaper tonight, something about Syria. We're still in that part of the world with extraordinary need for the Muslim law and brotherhood. Matthew gathers material for his community to tell them. That community was probably mostly Jewish because Matthew is the Jewish gospel. More emphasis on connection with the Jews. His five divisions of his book remind us of the Torah, the five books of the Torah. It's intentional. Matthew tells his people who are now scattered, and Antioch is 300 miles from Jerusalem, where it all started. Where all this transpired, where most of them were at one time or another. But now, these two generations later, we're scattered around and up to 300 miles away. That's about as far as from here to Louisville, or from here to Minneapolis. That's a long piece, especially when you're walking. The best way is to go by boat. But Matthew is writing to the people of the diaspora, away from their central place. And there's something else going on. Who could imagine it? Their sibling rivalry of religion. There were the Jews who had lost their temple and it was destroyed in 70. Who were kind of trying to get it together again and were keeping the law as best they could, as long as they could. And then there were the Jews who had accepted Jesus, who felt like they were moving on from there, and that's the group that Matthew was writing to. And so there was a certain amount of civil rivalry there, that was the old church and the new church. Working in the same community. That is still going on today. We had several times along the way, certainly with Luther and the Catholic Church, certainly with Calvin and the Catholic Church, certainly with Wesley and the Anglican Church, certainly with the Protestants and Catholics in this country and various places even today. And so Matthew is writing to a particular group trying to get the word to them, the gospel, the good news. And he's saying that the people with whom you're going to speak are not going to accept it all that well. Now, some of them will, but some of them won't. And you're going to go into families that some of them are in this persuasion and some of them are in this persuasion. And it's going to cause trouble. And that's one of the reasons I wish you hadn't said that, because I don't want to be in a position to cause trouble within any family. And perhaps there's a little hyperbole here that's overstated so that it gets the attention of those who bring the good news to their time and their place. And the good news is, Jesus has told us that loving your neighbor as you love yourself is the most important thing after your loving God, as a part of loving God. And some people want to hear that. And sometimes I find it difficult. I know that there are people with whom it's difficult. I, on the other hand, don't cause that feeling in other people. But I'm willing to admit. Being a part of the gospel is not always easy, but it's often always necessary. If we look at the Gospel of Matthew and when it was written and why it was written, we can imagine perhaps a parade. A parade starting with Jesus and it's just getting ready to start. And Jesus is assembling them on the next block over to go home down through the cities into their part of the world. And he's telling people, this is what you're going to see, and here is your message. The four Gospels, one can imagine. Four Gospels, we can say, observe this parade from different places along the parade route. We go to parades. We talk with people afterwards. Oh, did you see that group of people? That bunch of scouts were walking along. They were all in step. Well, actually, when they got to us, they weren't. Did you hear the band playing? Well, actually, no, because when they got to us, they were getting ready to turn the corner and they stopped playing. I did hear them, I think, but when they started up, there was another band just ahead of them and one behind them that started, so I'm not sure if I heard it all. You see? This is the way we approach our gospel audience. The gospel is the same. It's the same parade in which we participate from our place and our time. We need to take our scriptures seriously, but not necessarily literally. In terms of, we could say, this doesn't apply to us. Jesus wasn't speaking directly to us. He was speaking, he has 10 names, 11, the 12 names listed there. And so my name is Naaman, so he wasn't speaking to me. That's too little. He was speaking to the people who are watching the parade, the part of the parade, in his time, in his place. But it's the same God and the same message. And we somehow need to get a part of that for ours. Participation in that, in our time, in our place, in our day. Scripture tells us, first of all, about the nature of God. Some part of the nature of God. Every time I pick up Scripture and look at it and come at it, what does this tell me about God? There is something in there about God's compassion, about God's seeking people to be loving and neighborly. I learn about people, myself particularly, but I learn about people watching this parade go these many years ago who had a different view and a different beat of the same message. I learn about the nature of to whom we're supposed to speak, and that is the community around us, all the time, and in every place. You see, it's really kind of the same parade that the gospel writers saw in their time, in their place, from their particular vantage point. And sometimes we march in the parade, and sometimes we watch. But when the parade is over, we're all together. And we go to our homes and our families and our businesses and our church. And there we hear. We share with each other the nature of what we learn about God and the nature of Jesus Christ. And that is all. Soon we will